This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Today we're going to take some time to visit with Andra Ebert. And Andra, we're going to be talking about your business, or kind of something that I learned you do as your retirement project. But before we talk about that, let's find out a little bit about you. Just where are you from and a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, thanks, Katie. I'm actually from Taylorville. My husband and I farm in Stonington along with our son. And I co-founded Heartland Mini Hooves exactly almost 2 years ago last week.
Wow. Well, it's I can't wait to find out about it, and it's nice to have you here in the studio. So Heartland Mini Hooves, what is it? What do you do? And how did you come up with this idea?
Well, I didn't come up with the idea. I actually read about the idea. It's using miniature horses as animal-assisted therapy. And what we do is we take three miniature horses. We have Bailey, Winnie, and Jasper. And we go to nursing homes, hospitals, Alzheimer's units, schools, a variety of settings, and basically bring smiles to people.
Well, what a great job to have, and just really sounds like a lot of fun. And I know you brought one of the horses in today.
Yep,
Miss Bailey's here.
Bailey's here wandering around the studios.
So a lot of fun. So did you have any sort of background dealing with horses, or how did you have the experience, or how did you learn?
How did I get to this point in my life? Well, my background is I'm a registered nurse and a licensed social worker, and I have a master's degree in gerontology. So aging was always one of my loves. And as I approached retirement age, my daughter had got into horses when she was in junior high. And so I was not raised on a farm or raised with horses, but I grew up with her and her horses. So that's how I got the horse knowledge. And as I was looking towards retirement, I happened to read an article about using these animals as therapy animals. And this is relatively a new area to explore. You know, there's been therapy dogs for a number of years, and so using horses is relatively new, probably in the last 5 years. So I read about it, started looking around to see who was doing it, didn't find anyone. After exhaustive internet searches, I found a lady in California, one in Colorado, and one in Kansas City. And so I called this gal, talked 2.5 hours on the phone the first time. She said, come on out. And I said, okay. And so I drove to Kansas City, spent 4 days with her, and actually took Bailey on her first nursing home visit. Came home, looked at my husband and said, guess what? We're going to have livestock on the farm now, which he had never had livestock on our farm before. So that was quite a shock. And drove back 2 weeks later and bought Bailey and Jasper and brought them home and started the next week.
Wow. So she already had the horses when you visited, and was she planning on selling them? Did she raise them? Or
she had raised them, and she was doing training. She really wasn't planning on selling Bailey and Jasper, but we just connected so much, and I connected so much with the horses, she thought they'd have a good home with me, and so she agreed to sell them. And then a year later, we actually went and purchased another horse named Winnie. And Winnie is a full-blooded buckskin, and she's 1.5 years old.
Wow.
So we're doing all of Winnie's training.
Great. Let's talk about the training. I'm sure there's a lot of hours that go into teaching these horses how to behave and everything that they need
to do. Oh, absolutely. You know, horses are prey animals, and I sometimes think we forget that other animals in the wild try to eat them. You know, so that's why they are in herds. That's why they look out for one another. And so to teach them to trust us as part of their herd, you have to spend a lot of hours on the end of the lead rope. You know, it is not natural for a horse to walk in a building, to go on an elevator, to walk upstairs. We spend hours with them teaching them how to walk up to a person in a wheelchair with a walker in front of them, how to not pay attention when fire alarms go off or oxygen tanks or concentrators. We have to expose them to all those things, and on a continuous basis. You don't train them once and then don't do it again. Every day is a training day.
So you have them at home on your farm, so you're talking about fire alarms and steps. Do you have some of these props at home, or do you have places that you take
some
them?
Some of them we do. Other places we take them. And, you know, Taylorville's a lot like Litchfield. There's not a lot of places with elevators.
Yeah.
So we have to go find elevators. But, you know, like churches are a real good place for us because they have steps. Mm-hmm. And so They're pretty easy going up. It's always coming down that's an issue, because if you think about it, then their weight is heading down and it's a little bit scarier. So if we can get them up, then we go down the ramp and we practice that first. But, you know, we go around town in different places, and there's always that first time when you go on a visit that they have to go in the elevator, you know. And it's interesting because with horses, that perception for them between the elevator and the floor, there's always that gap. Mm-hmm. They see that as a ditch or a gully, so they typically jump over it.
Sure.
So these guys tend to do a little hop into the elevator. Now, the two older ones, Jasper and Bailey, know that elevator is going to move, so they brace themselves. Winnie, she's not there yet. She's a little bit wild when the elevator is moving, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
It's just so amazing. I grew up around horses, so I understand how they can be skittish in these.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not just like a person walking in, no big deal. You know, you really are teaching them what an elevator looks like, and they have
sure.
to acclimate themselves.
Well, and then the other thing, you know, people are touching them constantly and everywhere. You know, you may be visiting with one resident and someone walks up behind them and touches them on their back end. You know, so it's being able to tolerate a room full of people and being touched a great deal. With my guys, I can tell after about an hour, hour and a half, they're like, okay, Mom, it's time. I'm done. I'm done with people touching me. And that's typically how long a visit will last, you know, when we go into a facility.
I want to talk a little more about the visits, because you shared a few stories with me earlier. These horses, they touch people's lives, and they are therapy animals, essentially. So just share with us how people react when you're visiting nursing homes. Some people that do not talk, the horses bring that out.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about a therapy animal, what we want is for that animal and that resident to engage with each other. Had a resident in Springfield that was an advanced Alzheimer's patient and hadn't spoken a lot in a number of months. Went in with Bailey, was the one in particular, walked up, and she literally reached out and grabbed Bailey by her face and was talking to her. And the staff was really excited, and I asked them later on, I said, what was the big deal? And they said, well, she really doesn't verbalize. I said, well, she does. She does to Bailey. So we ended up going up there several months in a row so she could talk to Bailey and the staff could video it and show her family. And the interesting thing is, she didn't care about Jasper or Winnie, didn't want anything to do with them. It was only Bailey. And the same thing happened last Friday, which was really special. We were in Shelbyville, and a lady was there. And as we typically, what we do is we go in and we visit with a group of people. We go around and see them, and then we go down up and down the halls to those that didn't feel like coming out for the day. And this woman had came out late, and so I walked over with Bailey. And the gal that was with me said she probably won't, you know, respond. Well, as soon as I walked towards her, her eyes lit up. And so she began smiling, and so I knelt down. And Bailey stood there for about 10 minutes, and during that time she was reaching out with a couple of fingers, touching her face, and just smiling. And she actually spoke a couple of times to me. That's why we do what we do.
Wow, just amazing, and I'm sure it means a lot to the families to see these relatives interacting when maybe they haven't for years. So,
well, and one of the funniest things is I walked in a room one day and a lady was on a phone, and she said to, I'm assuming her daughter, she goes, there's a horse in my room. And she said it again, there's a horse in my room. And then she just looked at me and handed me the phone. And I said, and I'm sure her daughter thought Mom was having an issue that day.
Yes.
And I said, hello. And she goes, who is this? And I said, the lady with the horse in the room. She goes, there really is. And I said, yes, ma'am, there really is. So that has happened to us on numerous occasions. But, you know, that's a nice thing. Some facilities plan events around us coming so that they ask, you know, their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids to come in. So it really becomes a family matter. And also, these horses open up dialogue. A lot of these residents had horses when they were younger. A lot of them worked with workhorses just like these guys are, because these were actually workhorses in the 1800s, believe it or not, these little things.
Wow. I did not know that, so that's really, that's
yeah.
interesting. So, visiting nursing homes, do you try to stick to this area? Do you travel far?
Farther than I probably should, according to my husband. Being from Taylorville, we try to stay within an hour and a half. You know, an hour and a half in the trailer is long enough for them. And then by the time we get in and do an hour and a half on the visit, an hour and a half home, that's a full day for them. You know, when I originally had this idea and was going to start at that, I do this 1 or 2 days a week. I go 5 days a week, some days six. So that's a lot of work on them. So I want to make sure we never overuse them. You know, I need to protect them in a lot of ways.
Sure. Kind of like a person. We all need our personal space once in a while.
Sure.
I can understand that. So as far as scheduling a visit or if someone's interested, how can they talk to you and maybe set something up?
You know, it's real easy. They can either send me an email, and my email is barnmom50@gmail.com. And I have that because all I ever did for my daughter was write checks. I didn't write. I just wrote checks. Or they can give me a call. My number is 217-825-3747. You know, we're a non-for-profit 501c3. Our next big mission that I have to get started with is trying to find some corporate sponsors. You know, gas and the expenses of having the horses, feed, sawdust, those kinds of things. We'd like to get some of those things covered, you know, by having some corporate sponsors. So that's what we're going to work on this next year.
I can imagine just any idea of the number of miles that you drive in a week or a year.
Well, let's put it this way. If my husband's not listening, I'll tell you right now, I'm at 10,300 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not going to tell him when this is on, so he can't listen.
Yes, your secret.
My secret's safe.
Yeah.
But we average 10 to 12,000 miles. Right now, we're at 128 visits so far this year. And we're still, right now, I'm taking bookings in January and February. We are booked out till then.
And this is mostly for nursing homes, or do you branch out to other?
Well, we've branched, you know. We started with nursing homes, hospitals, and those kinds of facilities. We are now starting a new program. It's called Say Woe to Bullying. It is aimed at third and fourth graders, and it is helping kids to recognize what bullying is and, most of all, how to stop it. And so we actually use the horses in conjunction with this program. And so we presented our first program last week, and it went very well. We have another program this week, and then we have 14 more before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah, 14 presentations. And that's with the nursing home visits, too.
Sure.
So we're really excited about that because I think it's something that is so needed right now for our kids, is to help them recognize how to make it stop.
Yes. I just keep saying, wow, but it's such a unique thing to be talking about and learning about. I just really think it's a really great thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. As far as, we'll talk a little bit more about the horses. Would you like to share with us their diet? Do they eat hay, grain, just grass?
Well, a little bit of both. They eat grain, and people are shocked. They only eat a third of a cup a day.
Wow.
And when you look at it, a third of a cup's not very much.
No.
But they have unlimited access to hay and grass when the grass is good. We keep them at our farm. They have inside stalls with a heater above their stalls, so they're rather pampered. During the summer, they have big fans on them. In the trailer, they have a customized trailer. It is a cargo trailer that we actually raise funds for by standing in front of Walmart asking for donations. And we took a cargo trailer. We put in four windows 32 inches from the floor so that they can look out as we're traveling. So they peek out at everybody as we're driving by. And there's a big fan in there, too, for them. So they have a pretty cushy lifestyle.
Well, they do work a lot.
Yes, they do. They deserve it.
They earn it. There you go. And you do have to keep them pretty clean. You were sharing a little bit about that when you first got here.
Sure. We keep them shaved, which is unusual in the winter up here, but I also keep them blanketed in the winter. And the reason we keep them shaved is to keep them clean, because we do go into so many medical facilities and hospitals and things. So during the winter, I have a water heater that we can give them baths inside our shop. I also use a shop vac to keep the dirt off of them. But they are extremely clean. And that's part of the fun is how soft they are.
Yes.
It's like a young man getting a buzz haircut, that little short hair.
They were very soft. And Bailey, she's freshly shaved.
And
we were all
enjoying
that.
And she smells good.
Yeah, she does. Well, Andra, it has been great visiting with you and learning about Heartland Mini Hoofs. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to mention?
Well, I think the big thing people ask is, if we do parties, no, we don't, because they are trained strictly for therapy, so I'd like to keep them in that vein. The other thing is people always ask, how much does it cost? We don't have a set fee. We accept donations. So if someone, a facility or an event wants us to come visit, it is on a donation basis only. I would say donations, we've had everything from $75 to $500. So I would say the average is $75 to $125. And that helps cover our gas and you know, the things that go along with their care.
Sure. Well, Andra, thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie.